This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. A study just published in the scientific journal PLOS ONE shows a sharp decline in Vermont's bumblebee population and points to one potential domesticated culprit as another possible reason why. In a review of 100 years of bumblebee records, researchers led by UVM and the Vermont Center for Eco Studies revealed that four of Vermont's 17 bumblebee species appear to have gone extinct. Wild bumblebees play an important role in pollinating our food supply. They pollinate wildflowers and most crops in Vermont. Now, pesticides, global warming, and habitat loss are some of the explanations for this decline in population. Another is the spread of viruses. Samantha Alger is a researcher in UVM's science department and a pollinator specialist, and she's the lead researcher who just published this study, which reveals that honeybee viruses may be increasing the mortality of native pollinators. She's with us now to share her findings. Samantha Alger, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so when we think about viruses, what viruses are problematic for native bumblebee species?
Well, we know there are over 24 viruses known to infect bees, but we actually know very little about how these viruses are affecting bumblebees. They've been studied a long time in honeybees, which are a managed agricultural livestock animal that are very important for the pollination of our food crops. But we know very little about the effect of these viruses in wild bees.
So what leads you to think that perhaps honeybee viruses are contributing to a decrease in population or to increased mortality in bumblebee species?
So my paper actually didn't make the link of the viruses causing declines or mortality in bumblebees. Our paper, in fact, actually showed that these viruses look like they're spilling over from managed honeybees into wild bumblebees. And this is significant because these viruses were thought to be specific to honeybees for a long time. And while other studies have detected these viruses in a number of different insect species, there wasn't yet a link showing that these viruses could be spilling over from managed honeybees to bumblebees. And so while it's concerning because we're seeing high prevalences in bumblebees and a link to the presence of honeybee apiaries, we don't actually know very much about how these viruses are affecting bumblebees at this time.
All right. So just to be clear, what you have discovered is that there is apparently this spillover from domesticated honeybee populations and that bumblebees are contracting these viruses. The question that remains then is how much or not are these viruses actually contributing to the mortality of bumblebees?
Yes, that is correct. And one of the big findings of this study was that we found that, yes, that viruses seem to be spilling over from honeybees to bumblebees, and we looked at, well, how exactly might this be occurring? And it looks like that flowers could be sort of this bridge in virus transmission between species.
That's one of the most fascinating things to me, at least, about this, is that you're actually finding the viruses on the wildflowers. Can you just talk about how you do that research?
Sure, yeah. So the way what we did with this study is we selected sites across Vermont that either had honeybee apiaries present. So apiary is just a fancy word for a bee farm, so where a beekeeper keeps a number of honeybee colonies. And we sampled bumblebees from those sites, and we also sampled honeybees, and we sampled flowers all within 300 meters from these honeybee apiaries. And then we also selected about half the sites that we selected were sites where we didn't find an apiary. There was no apiary within at least a kilometer, and in many cases even further away. And what we found, so I can get to the bee results in a second, but you asked about the flowers. What we found was that we were looking for viruses on bee viruses on flowers, and we thought that this might be like looking for a needle in a haystack. You can imagine these fields are huge with lots of blooming flowers, but we actually found a pretty high proportion of the flowers hosted bee viruses, or we detected bee viruses on these flowers, and we only detected bee viruses on flowers that we collected from sites where there was a honeybee apiary present. All of the flowers outside of places where there was an apiary were negative for the viruses. And the proportion of the flowers within apiaries that we found viruses on was actually 19%. So close to 20% of flowers inside honeybee apiaries we were able to detect viruses on.
That's fascinating. So it suggests that honeybees pollinating these flowers around their apiary in the range that a honeybee might travel from its hive, that there are viruses on these flowers. There are not viruses on the flowers that you've been finding that are not near the honeybees.
Right. And so what it's suggesting is that bees are leaving behind viruses on flowers either through salivary secretions or feces as they're foraging. And while this could be happening also with wild bees could also be leaving viruses behind as they forage. Our study suggests that the apiaries seem to be hot spots for where this is occurring.
So why aren't those viruses then being transmitted from the honeybee to the flower to a bumblebee, and then the bumblebee travels somewhere else, and then the next bumblebee? I mean, why are you only finding these viruses near the commercial honeybee apiaries and not spreading?
Right. That's a great question. Well, for one of the viruses, black queen cell virus, we did find well, let me back up here a little bit. So bumblebees that we collected near honeybee apiaries were significantly more likely to host the viruses of both viruses that we were looking at. But for one virus in particular, when there were honeybees completely absent, none of those bumblebees had that particular virus. So there was a very distinct link, and that's deformed wing virus, between honeybees and bumblebees. So it didn't look like it was spreading much outside of the apiaries. But for this other virus, black queen cell virus, we did find it, but at much higher levels. And so your question, why isn't it actually spilling or sharing throughout the pollinator community at large? Well, it looks like that might be the case for some viruses, but other viruses, which, such as deformed wing virus, could very well be much more honeybee-specific. And one of the reasons that could be the case is because deformed wing virus is linked to a varroa mite. So this is an ectoparasite. It kind of acts like a tick in humans, where it would vector viruses just like a tick vectors Lyme disease, for instance, in humans. And so this particular tick will or mite will vector deformed wing virus to honeybees, and these mites only infect honeybees. And so we have this tight link of this mite and virus and honeybee relationship, where that could be one reason why we're seeing that virus kind of spilling over and that from honeybees to bumblebees, and that apiaries appear to be hot spots for this particular virus.
So it sounds like there's still a lot to be learned and a lot to be studied, which is great for you and your career trajectory, but also there are some thoughts then for commercial beekeepers and all beekeepers about how to try to do the least amount of potential damage to our native pollinators. And do you have advice so far from what you've learned?
Yeah, we do have some advice here. So I just want to say I am a beekeeper, and I support beekeeping.
So am I.
Oh, great. And I'm not trying to villainize the beekeeping industry. The honeybee is the most important managed pollinator of our food crops. But I think that in light of this study and these results, we could potentially have an issue on our hands. And because a honeybee is an agricultural livestock animal, we want to make sure as beekeepers that we're good stewards for our bees and we take care of them properly. And that means when they have disease, we need to treat them properly. And for honeybees, the varroa mite, which I mentioned earlier, vectors these viruses. And so while our study doesn't make the distinct link between the varroa mite and the spillover, it is very likely that if you have varroa mites and high infestation of them, that could result in high virus loads in your honeybee colonies, which would then increase the chances that these viruses could spill over to manage bees. And so for beekeepers, you can't actually treat viruses right now. We don't have a magic pill to treat the viruses in honeybees. However, we have lots of different cultural practices, management practices, and chemical treatments, organic and synthetic, that we can use as beekeepers in our hives to keep our mite populations low. And it's my hope that by doing that, that would reduce the likelihood of spillover of viruses to wild bees.
All right, we're going to leave it there. That's Samantha Alger, a researcher in UVM's science department and a pollinator specialist. We have more information at vpr.org. Thanks very much to Samantha Alger. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Jane Lindholm. Join us again tomorrow.